The title is, What Do You Have? What do you have? And before I ask you what you have, I just want to read something that I've written down so I don't forget it. And it's this. During one of our hymns, there was a line in the chorus that says, Set your church on fire, build your kingdom here. And then when we think about fire, we're talking about the Spirit of God. We're not talking about, you know, set us naturally on fire. It's the fire of God. Build your kingdom here. You see, the title of my message today is, What Have You Got? And it was inspired by a conversation of a brother who gave me a word for someone else, and I'm praying through it for the right time to come. I want to say to you that we have to have it in order to give it. You cannot give what you do not have. So what do you have? And there was a message I was going to bring, and it was about the fire of God, the Holy Spirit. But then as I started to look through Scripture and I started to ask the Lord to give me the message for today, I'm going to bring the other one next time I minister. But today I want to read in Acts 3 verse 6. It says this. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have. Now you know the story, and if you don't know the story, read about what happened with Peter as he's on the way to the temple to pay tribute, to praise and worship and give of his alms. As he's on the way, there's a man begging for alms, and Peter goes up to him and he says, Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. What do you have? And if there's a series that I'm doing, there's a theme that I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. When we look at what happened with David going to Ziklag, and he when he got there, everything he owned, everything he loved, everything he cherished had been taken from him. And instead of sitting there and going, woe is me, and double woe, he said, I'm going back and I'm going to take it. And not only did he go back and take it, he took more than what he had before. He was doubly blessed. So you have to have it in order to give it. So for Peter to say to this man, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. He had to have whatever it was he was giving. Yes? So I want to suggest that there are small things in our lives that we've let go of. There are small things such as areas that we used to pray about, we don't pray about anymore. Areas that we used to step out in faith and we maybe don't do it anymore. Areas that we used to be at the beginning and now we're more in the middle or the end. And what happens is we look at this pendulum that I speak about on a regular basis now, where the pendulum is swung over here and we see that there's a manipulation at times, even in the body of Christ, sadly enough. There's a manipulation, there's a evangelistic on the truth. And then we come over this way and we kind of go, we'll stay away from that because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to get it wrong. And I want us to be in the center of God's plan. I want us to, yes, swing at times going, yes, it's okay to step out and it's okay to be wise and say, Lord, when do you want me to speak? When do you want me to go? So I just want to bring one or two scriptures today that will encourage us. But just bear in mind that the backdrop is we have to have it in order to give it. What do you have? And also be reminded that the enemy is out to rob, steal and destroy. I was saying to somebody earlier that there's a scripture that says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for that in which he may devour. And I was reminding this Christian who we was talking about the word devour, and when you actually look at it and you break it down, and it talks about to drink down fast, to devour something quickly. And if you think about that, the enemy's trying to devour you. Well, he can't swallow you whole, so what happens is he breaks you bit by bit. And it's the small things that I believe that we can miss. And that's why instead of speaking about the Spirit of God, the fire of God, the ruach, the breath of God coming in power and dunamis, today I want to speak about the small things. The small things, because if we don't have it, we can't give it. How many of you would like to have an opportunity to bless somebody else financially? I would. But if I haven't got it, I can't give it, can I? If I have a desire to give something to somebody financially, I can't if I haven't got it. You know, God doesn't want me to have nothing and give everything away, because then someone else will have to take responsibility for me. He's given me responsibility for me and my household. He's also given me responsibility to bless the family of believers. But if I haven't got it, I can't give it. Wisdom. Isn't it good that we want to see something, see someone, and we want to impart wisdom? Yes? Or is it just me? Wisdom. Well, if we haven't got it, we can't give it. So I want to encourage us. In Matthew 26, 28, it says this. This is my blood covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We have forgiveness of sins. And sometimes we can forget that. The enemy can rob us from it. You know, when we're talking to someone who's dead in their sins, and we've been made alive in Christ because our sins have been forgiven, we can say, oh, death, where is your sting? Because we know that death has been swallowed up by victory. The victory is in Christ Jesus, yes? But there are times in our lives, and maybe it's not for people here in this room, it's for someone who's going to listen to this message, or someone you're going to speak about. It's not necessarily everything I'm going to say is like, you haven't done this, or you've been robbed by that, but it's a message to remind us that the small things matter. You know, when you look at a jigsaw puzzle, if you have a four-piece jigsaw puzzle, it's easy to put it together, yes? But if one piece is missing, one piece is missing. If you have a 100,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, that one piece is just as important as the four-piece jigsaw puzzle. And sometimes we see the relevance and the value in the big, the 1,000-strong jigsaw puzzle, and we don't see the value in the three. Well, I got three. I used to have four. Well, but that one piece is important. And in our lives, I want to suggest, in our Christian walk, the pendulum sometimes swing too far and we forget what we have. See, you can't give what you haven't got. And I want to encourage us today to just know afresh that we've been forgiven. Because there are times that your circumstances, my circumstances, the way I feel, and how many of you know that we should not go on our feelings? Because our feelings will let us down. We need to go on God's word, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That we've been forgiven. And when we feel that we're a wretch, Lord, you've saved me. Lord, you've cleansed me. Lord, you've clothed me. Lord, you have forgiven me. Father, if there's anything in me, may I be like the psalmist David when he says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Then, once the Lord has spoken to us afresh, we need to believe it and get on with our lives and not carry that burden of sin, because we've been forgiven. So I want to encourage us today that we have forgiveness of sins. In Romans 5:1, it says this, therefore, since we have been justified, what do you have? You have justification. Justification, you know what that means. Just as if you'd never sinned. Yeah, but God, if you only knew me. He does know you. If you belong to him, you've been justified. What do you have? You have justification in him. Through faith, we have peace. We talk about a peace that transcends all understanding, don't we? We talk about the peace of a river. It's not the calmness of the river. That's a peace that when the river is raging, we still have that peace. All is well with my soul. We can't give it if we haven't got it. You know, is there turmoil around you at times? Maybe there is. Well, if you want to bring peace, you need to have it in order to give it. Lord, out of the overflow of the heart, let the mouth speak. We have peace, just to remind us that we are justified and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace. Grace is undeserved favor. We can't earn it, but we receive it. That's grace. You've been given a gift. You've been given access. Did you know that? There are still people within church life, and they come out of one kind of religion, and they hang on to some of the things that they were taught, that they have to go to a priest in order to ask for forgiveness, that they have to go to a pastor or a spiritual leader in order to get access to God. Can you pray for me, pastor, that I may be one with God? Well, you pray, because you've been given access. You see, what do you have? What I have, I give to you. If I haven't got it, I can't give it. If I don't have faith that Jesus Christ is my Savior and Lord, I can't speak to you about faith. If you don't have faith that you've been forgiven, how can you speak to someone about forgiveness? You can't. You have to have it in order to give it. What have you got? Well, I'm reminding us today that we have justification, we have faith, we have peace, we have access, we have grace. And we've been given the ability to stand. And even when we suffer, we have perseverance. We have character. We have hope. And hope does not disappoint. What do you have? If you're a Christian, you have all these things. How blessed are we? So it's just a reminder, really, just to say that we can't give it if we haven't got it. And many of us, we have it, but we've forgotten we've got it. How many of you know that we've moved house? And I'm going, I forgot I had that. I've bought three others since. Now I've got four. I forgot I had it. Looked at a photograph and think, oh my goodness, I had hair that was a different colour. I forgot about that. We look at things that we have. We have them. You know, we meet somebody and they need something. And we've forgotten that we've got it. And it's not until we go looking for something else, so often we find the very thing that could have blessed somebody. Oh my goodness. You know, there's something in our minds, in our life, that God has really done a work in. You know, when I was a young Christian or a maturing Christian, or when I was in a bad place, the Lord said this to me. And you meet somebody and you've forgotten about it. And then when you get home, you go, oh, I should have said that. Because you already had it. So I want to remind you that you've got it. These are things that the Bible talks about. This is not some revelation, something you go, oh, wow, what a fantastic word. And this is a fantastic word, but it's nothing new. It's just a reminder to say, don't let the pendulum swing too far over here that we miss what God is doing. Don't let it go too far over there that we reject what God is doing. Let us be more central. Stay on straight street and say, Lord, your word says that the things that are high you'll bring low, the things that are low you'll bring high. What does that mean? I'll tell you that we walk on a level road, that God does not want us to stumble over the stumbling stone. The stumbling stone is Jesus Christ, but we don't need to stumble over Jesus Christ because we've been born of his Spirit. Yes? Of course, unless you don't have that. And then he becomes a stumbling stone. But the good news is the Bible says, this is what we have. We have his word. It says, today, as long as it's today, is the day of salvation. So that's good news for you as you listen. So what do you have? Well, we have peace with God. We have faith. In Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity to do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Now, I've got to give you some bad news. I'm part of your family. Suck it up. You know, we belong to the Lord. We're part of his family. And sometimes we can forget that. Something else, we was talking with a sister earlier, and she made a comment where she said to someone, you're not alone. And that one phrase, saying to this one person that was struggling with faith, struggling with, is God real? Everything, she'd abandoned and rejected certain things. But that one word that this other believer had, she gave and simply said, you're not alone. How does she know she's not alone? Because she's part of a family. And if that person knew who Jesus was, they're part of a family, so you're not alone. So when you're in those times of feeling inadequate or nobody cares, nobody loves me, just be reminded that you're part of a family. You're part of a family. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. And sometimes we're looking for somebody else to bless us, and God says, look upon me. I'll give you a true illustration in my life, because I am a bit of the way I think. And I remember going into church when I was, I don't know how old I was in the faith, probably a couple of years old. And I'm somebody that you will be shocked to know that I talk a lot when it comes to faith. And I used to go into church and I'd be on the door and I'd welcome people, I'd be smiley. And not because I had to be, but it's something that God had done in my life and I was happy to be joyous. But this one day I wasn't. And I walked into church and I thought to myself, I'm going to sit here and see how many people in my family will talk to me. Who will come up to me and bless me? How many people do you think did it? None. So I'm sitting there, and then the Lord speaks, and he says this to me. How many of you encouraged today? And I went, none. He said, well, what you sow, you reap. I'm adding that bit on. But that was the feeling. Do you get the point? So nobody loves me. Who have you loved today? Nobody ever gives me anything. What have you given? Sorry, the word is difficult at times. Nobody has spoken to me. Who have you spoken to? I want to remind us that we are part of a family. Don't let the enemy steal and rob that. Don't sit at home at any time and go, I'm on my own. You're not on your own. You're not on your own. You're part of a family. When one part hurt, we all hurt. And you know what, church? There's times where we can feel particularly isolated or insular. And we think that God is going to give a revelation to everybody. And suddenly you'll get a phone call because they will be told by God. Doesn't always happen that way. But sometimes it does. I remember some years ago, my wife Susan, she loves flowers. I did a silly thing. I'd bring a cauliflower home. You know that saying that says cauliflower ear? I know where it comes from now. Or I'd buy a pot plant. Well, they last longer, don't they? Come on, men, we're practical. You can plant that. Those chrysanthemums will go on year after year after year. You don't want those roses. They will wilt after a week. And Susan just had this circumstance going on. And if you imagine, I'm not going to say that she said this word for word, but just give you a picture. It's like, Lord, just a bunch of flowers. And this sister who was far away, was given a bunch of flowers for her birthday, a big bunch. And as she's looking at these beautiful flowers, the Lord says, I want you to cut them in half, and I want you to share them with Susan. You see, we're part of a family. When God gives you a thought, act on it. Even if you don't think it's God, is it good? Is it encouraging? So for you, it might be, you know, I have two cars, Andrew wants one. You know, if he says that to you, I won't be disappointed. You can try it. No, I'm glib, but what I'm saying is, you go, well, God, is this you? Well, just look at it. Is this going to bless and encourage? Well, even if it isn't God, it's good to do good. So I want to remind us, if you haven't got it, you can't give it. If that lady never had a bunch of flowers, she couldn't share with Susan. That's the point I'm making. So if you haven't got peace in your heart, you can't share it with others. If you haven't got the joy of the Lord becoming your strength, you can't strengthen others. If you haven't got that salvation that says, I've been forgiven, then you can't share it with somebody else. So we have to have it. Silver and gold I don't have, he says, but what I have I give to you. Get up and walk. See, he had to have it in order to give it. And we'll talk about what he had, in that sense, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, next time. But for us, it's the same truth. If we haven't got it, we can't give it. And I want to talk about the small things. It's easy to talk about the power of God. But did you know there's power in our words? There's power in our actions. There's power in our prayers. Lord, I want to bless so-and-so. She's part of my family. He's part of my family and they're thousands of miles away. Well, pray. Pray. As you pray, God opens up the way. So if you haven't got it, you can't give it. If you don't pray, your prayer won't be answered. There's one for us, isn't it? I remember someone saying to a famous preacher that really believed in the manifestation of the Spirit, and God would move in power, and he can do signs, wonders, and miracles. And this parishioner came up to him and said, "You know, you talk about laying hands on the dead and believing for dead people to raise. Do you know, I've never seen a dead person raised." And this man says, "How many have you prayed for?" She said, "Well, none." Well, there you go then. See, if we don't pray, God doesn't answer, does he? "Yeah, but Pastor, the Bible says that God knows what we want before we pray for it." He still says, "Knock, seek, ask." You know, there's... sometimes I have to be careful because I want it to be scriptural. And I want you to get my heart behind this. And I'm not... I'll just say it. You know, I knew a man who had multiple sclerosis. And the diagnosis was he was going to die of multiple sclerosis. And I remember in the days where I was full of faith and going, "Let's lay hands on the sick and see them recover." And I went round, I said, "I'm going to pray for this multiple sclerosis to be healed." And he said, "I don't have it." I went, what do you mean? He said, "I've been healed." Now, because of the stripes of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of the blood shed, we have been healed, yes? We just want that to catch up with our bodies. So I'm not saying that we don't have total healing in that sense. And then I turned around and said, "Well, I can't pray then. Because I'll be praying for something you haven't got." Do you see my point? So there are times that we need to say, "Lord, would you heal me of this?" Jesus said to the blind man as he comes for prayer, "What do you want?" "I want my sight, Lord. I want my sight, Lord." There are times where God is just passing by, and just the breath of God, the ruach of God, we receive something that we haven't even asked for. But there's other times where we need to ask for it. We need to identify it and say, "Yes, I have this, Lord, but you can take it. Lord, the world says that I won't achieve that, but Lord, Christ in me, the hope of glory." See, if we haven't got it, we can't give it. If we haven't got faith in Lord Jesus Christ, then we won't receive eternal life. So we have to have it in order to give it. This is an easy one for most Christians. Matthew 6:18-21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother and sister?" How many times? "Up to seven." And Jesus says, "Yeah, and just a few more. Add a naught." Oh, 77 times. See, God has given us the ability to forgive. "Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me." God's given you the ability to forgive. I want to remind us, when unforgiveness manifests in the body of a Christian, it's the Christian that suffers, not the person we're forgiving. Forgiveness is a decision. It doesn't mean that you don't seek justice. "Lord, have your way. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm making a decision to forgive, so that that unforgiveness won't turn into bitterness, and that bitterness turn into darkness in my life. That darkness turns into an area that I'm not willing to yield." You see, God's given you the ability to forgive. What do you have? The ability to forgive. It's a powerful thing, but so often we're told it's a small thing. It's not, it's a big thing. So I want to remind us as a church, when we look at this scripture, "Silver and gold I might not have, but what I have I give to you." You can say to other people in your mind, "I have the ability to forgive, and I'm going to forgive you." You can pray about that forgiveness. So it's a powerful thing that we have. So today's message is just to simply remind us that if you haven't got it, you can't give it. So let's be reminded that we have it. If you're a Christian, you have it. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." You're co-workers. You're not on your own. You're not just working with me. You're not just working with a fellow believer. You're working with the triune God. God doesn't leave you on his own. Remember what Jesus says. He says, "If I go, I will send you the Comforter." And why does he send the comforter? Because we need to be comforted. So I want to remind us that we are co-workers. You are not on your own. If there's ever an opportunity in your life where you're doing something for the Lord and you go, God, this is so hard. Nobody else is helping. It's just me. You're not on your own. You're part of a family. There are other people praying for you, praying with you. And the Lord says, I am with you. Wherever you go, I go. And how do we know that? Glad you asked. Because the Bible says that he lives in us. You don't go on holiday and leave Jesus at home, do you? No, I hope not. It's like, I'm off to Dubai. It's a bit hot for you, Lord. You stay here. You know, we're off to Uganda. And Susan says, have you packed Jesus? Oh, no, I forgot. Let's put him in the suitcase. Well, he lives in us, doesn't he? And I know it sounds glib at times, but it's a reminder. If we haven't got it, we can't give it. So when we're in that position where we're in a hostile land or in a circumstance, a situation that concerns us, I want you to be reminded today that you're not on your own. That when you work for the Lord, he's there with you. When you give, he's there with you. When you receive, he's there with you. When you go through the trial and the tribulation, he's there with you. He's producing character. He's producing hope. Silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. I want us to be empowered as a people. I want us to know, be reminded through the scars in our life that, Lord, this is what you did for me. Lord, this is when you reminded me that I could simply pray and ask and you answered. See? Nothing's wasted, is it? 1 Corinthians 3, as I said, we are co-workers with the Lord. In John 5:24, very truly I tell you, or verily, verily, or truly, truly, which means listen, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. We won't be judged according to our sin, but we will be judged according to our actions. But we've been given eternal life. You see, we live because he lives. What I have, I give to you. I want to share the faith that God has given me. I want to share the hope that God has given me. If you haven't got hope, if you haven't got faith, if you haven't received eternal life, you can't share it with somebody else. So these are the small things. So often when we look at that portion of scripture where it says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. Walk, we see the fire of God coming down, and he stretches out his hands and he lifts him up, and the man starts to walk, and there's miracles and everyone's rejoicing, and your fellow believers are going, wow, look what God has done through you. Yet we forget the small things. We have faith, we have hope, we have eternal life. Everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross, we can have access to. Why? Because we can go directly to the Father. So I want to remind us that you have far more than you may think you have. In Matthew 3:11, it says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes the one more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That was the first scripture that I was going to read today, but it's one of the last scriptures because we'll talk about this another time. Because I wanted to just simply remind us when we read that scripture, what I have, I give to you. I want you to be reminded that you have so much, that you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in your boat. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that's already forgiven you so that you can forgive others. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that empowers you and impacts you, that gives you visions and dreams. In scripture it says sons and daughters will have visions and dreams. They will prophesy. They will see my glory. That's you and me because we are his children. I'll leave you with this scripture in 2 Peter 1, 3. It says this, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. What do we have? His divine power. His divine power. It's not my words. It's not where you go to a self-help guru and he says, just think positively. I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You get out of the boat, you start to walk, you sink. I can't do this. But Jesus says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. What have you got? Everything you need for a godly life. You've been given a conscience. You've been given the Holy Spirit that will provoke you and stir you up. You've been given peace. You've been given knowledge. You've been given discernment. You've been given a dunamis of the Holy Spirit. You've been given a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Through these he has given us the very great precious promises. What do you have? You have promises from God. I will never leave you or forsake you. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What have you got? An escape route. His name is Jesus. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, which you've been given, goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. What do you have? Knowledge. Knowledge of what? There's knowledge that you have that you gain through an academic understanding of the way the world works. But there's also a spiritual knowledge. There's a gift of knowledge. There's something that you didn't know before, but you know now. And if you haven't got it, you can't give it, can you? How many times do we speak to someone and we don't realize what we have and what we've just done? And they say, how did you know that? How did I know what? How did you know that about me? Now, what about you? You didn't even know you had it, but you've got it. There's so much that we have as believers that we don't realize we have. We have everything that we need for a godly life, for a good life, for a powerful life, for an enriched life, for a healthy life, a whole life. It says this, through them we may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is caused by evil desires. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. What do you have? Self-control. I couldn't do it. There's nothing I could do about it, Pastor. It just got away from me. You have self-control. You know that the prophet can be prophesying and he can stop or she can stop because they have control. If you're caught up in a spiritual language, in a tongue, and you go, I couldn't help it during the middle of service. It was just something that came over me. You have self-control. The Bible says so. We have self-control. God's given you that. Perseverance. I've had enough. He's given you perseverance. If you haven't got it, you can't give it. But God's given it, so we can do it. Perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. That's for me and you. And to mutual affection, love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is slow to anger. What do you have? You have the attributes of God. When we look in another time at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you have it. You have it. And you have it abundantly. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you do have them. How do I know that? If you are a Christian, you've been endowed with his gifts. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So if you don't operate in these gifts, you've forgotten something. If we haven't got it, we can't give it. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you and me, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. What will you never do? You will never stumble. See, God has given you eyes to see, ears to hear. Even in this world of electric cars, you can still hear what God says. You can still hear what's coming up behind you if you listen. If you haven't got it, you can't give it. And you will receive a rich welcome into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, if you haven't got it, you can't give it. So I want to remind us today as a church, as a fellowship, we're a family, we've been given gifts, and we need to understand and go searching for those gifts afresh. Lord, I know that you gave me wisdom. I want to use it afresh. Lord, I know that I have knowledge because your word says so. I want to use it afresh. Father God, I'm struggling to forgive, but I have that gift. Lord, endow me afresh with that gift to forgive. Lord, you know that I know that I should keep short accounts with you and with my family. Father God, thank you for my family. Lord, I thank you that I'm feeling lonely, but I'm not alone because I'm part of your family and I'm working alongside you and your Holy Spirit. You live in me. Help me, Father God, so that when I meet somebody in need, and that's what this story is all about, a man that was in need. If you don't need it, you don't need it, do you? But if you need it, ask for it. This man needed something, and Peter had what this man needed. And so for us as a church, let us be reminded today, as I say this afresh, silver and gold I might not have, but what I have, I give you. Someone said to me years ago, I do not believe what you believe, but I believe you believe what you believe. You see, I have it, so I could give it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. May the fire of God fall afresh on us and consume the dross and leave the goodness of the word, the gold, the silver, and the precious stones. Father God, remind me this week of what I already have and help me to identify where I give it, where I serve, how it manifests. I ask this according to your plan and your purpose in my life. Amen. Amen. Amen.